Thursday, the 28th of February, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Hiya, Paul.
And I bet none of you thought we would be here this week. You thought we'd all be sat there sulking and not recording a podcast, but here we are. Here we are. This is our second take because Aaron managed to swear with his first word, so there could be a lot of bad edits in this podcast, just to warn you. But we're back. We're gonna talk about the Belfast weekend. It may not be as in-depth as a lot of our game discussions, but talk about it we will. And then we'll discuss the Brayhead game from last night. Choose a player of the week, as always. Because we've been sulking, we've not asked for any burning questions, any Ramites, so we haven't got any of those. We're going to have a little look at sort of the league position coming into the final month now of the season before previewing this weekend's action. And we may start talking about the Giants weekend upcoming as well, just as a little nod as to what's happening there. I just don't want to. Ice hockey, Friday night, Cardiff Devils in Belfast. Sean.
Do I have to?
Yeah,
well,
I think so.
Where do we start? Do we just talk about the one game, or do we talk about the whole weekend?
I feel like there's probably moments in the at the end of the Friday game that we should start with if we're not going to go in depth.
Yeah.
I think it's worth saying as a note overall that you can see why these two teams are the top.
The two best teams in the league going at it, and I got to be honest, we would have been, both games would have been going to overtime if it wasn't for individual mistakes, and we could probably have nicked one in overtime if it wasn't for, you know, I don't like to pin it on players, but again, individual mistakes, errors. Overall, the Giants are a good team. Did they deserve 4 points? Yeah, I think they did. But the two teams were just battling each other and cancelling each other out, and they forced us into mistakes, and, you know, full credit to them, like I said, you don't just get lucky in hockey. The Giants have to put the puck up that end of the ice for us to make the mistakes with it and then capitalize on our mistakes. And that's exactly what they did. They were very clinical. Their goalie was absolutely out of this world. And I thought Bouncy had a brilliant weekend overall, but Tyler Bescarawani is just absolutely inhuman. He just robbed us point blank in that second game. And overall, probably the right result. I don't think we deserved nothing. I thought we were decent enough to take something from the weekend. Unfortunately, just the 1 point to the Belfast Giants, 4.
Yeah, when you're saying were the Giants worth 4, if you hadn't said, I probably would have disagreed. But I think on balance, it was probably one of those games where overtime in both, you know, would have probably summed up the entirety of the game. But, you know, as you
them's
said,
them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks, yeah. Friday night, first period was tied 1-1. Joey Haddad with his second goal in as many games back. So you're good to see that he's hopefully picking up from where he left off, notwithstanding the fact he hasn't iced since that game. Scoreless second period, and Giants took the lead about 8 minutes into the third with a power play goal through Smotherman. And I wasn't confident at that stage. I didn't feel like, even though you've said it, I think I said to Sean at least, I didn't feel like we had another goal in us. Aaron, where were you at 2-1 down? And yeah, obviously that man, Fournier, having the season of his life, proved me wrong quite quickly.
I didn't feel like the game was getting away from us. I still think we, you know, it was only the halfway point before Fournier's had his moment, but you know, it wasn't. You could tell we was playing different to the way we played when we was at home. We looked a little bit nervous, a little bit shaky. And Belfast just was so good at closing us down. You know, they always had that one high man putting pressure on our D-men and, you know, often forcing turnovers. And I think what they've done well as well is just spread us out so much. It was like, it was almost at times like when we gained the zone that we were playing like almost a power play, Giants would turn us over, and you could almost guarantee nearly every time they had someone on the opposite blue line ready to, you know, get a shorty on us, and, you know, short man, odd man rush and things like that. So I just think they had a really good game plan in our first game. It was almost as if they seen what we did when they came to us and we took 4 points and done exactly the same thing to us, and we just didn't have an answer really. And luckily enough, Fournier got us back into it with a power play goal. And, you know, I genuinely did think that, you know, that was a turning point for us. And, you know, it seems to be a recurring thing at the moment that we often concede goals pretty much straight after or within a couple of minutes of us scoring. And it happened literally just over 2 minutes. I think it was Bachi first. Got a feel for the guy. Gets the puck out in front. Thinks it's on his stick. Goes to make a pass. And leaves the puck there. Just literally about 6 yards out from bounds. Darcy Murphy mugs off Batch and Bounds. Well, Bounds was incredible to make the first save, to be honest, on the thing. And, you know, it would have been, if he made the second save, I think it would have been a different game. But couldn't make the second save, and you could basically say the game's over there. And then I think the edge dropped a little bit, and last minute of the game, phones
just,
was
just before you go on, just you saying about the game was over then, I think in my mind it clearly was, because when I read the score sheet just before we started the game sheet, I couldn't believe that goal went in with like 6.5 minutes left. I felt like it was two minutes left. Fawns' mistake to give Riley a goal. And just, mistakes happen. Just the luck that those two mistakes happen and the puck both times falls to Darcy Murphy and then Blair Riley. If you could pick two players that you don't want to give the puck to in and around the net, it's those two. And yeah, as you said, Riley picks up from a bobbling puck on Fournier and buried it. But absolutely, if the heads didn't drop in the team, it clearly did in the stands, if Sean had the same opinion. Because I, if you'd have asked me, I'd have said 2.5 minutes left, the first one.
Three and a push.
Yeah. So, mad. And I think probably shows that we were struggling from that point on to make anything, because there's nothing that really sticks out in my mind. But I did try quite hard in Rockies afterwards to make sure nothing stuck in my mind for very long. That's Friday. I feel like that's probably enough. Two, you know, good goal scorers getting two good chances, making it happen. Now, Saturday's game, 2-1 loss in overtime overall. 0-0 up until practically the 47th minute, Sean. Few people talking about it being quite a boring game, a dull game. What was your thoughts on it?
Probably one of the best 0-0s I'd seen up until then. The two best teams in the league going at it. Trading chances, goalies standing on their heads. I don't think you can be bored in a game that tense. Like, we talk about our Challenge Cup final a couple of years ago that was absolutely dire. We weren't bored during the game. You wouldn't want to watch it back, but, you know, it was a really exciting game at the time, and I felt that way about the game in Belfast on the Saturday. I thought it was brilliant end-to-end stuff up until then.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I was just looking for an opinion that, you know, I thought, you know, it's one of those, I thought it was great hockey, great entertainment. Mm. I didn't enjoy any of it because of the pressure. Of, you know, if we'd taken a point or two the night before, I probably would have absolutely loved the game because pressure would have been off us, but it was all on us. And Blair Riley gets the go-ahead goal in the third. If we're not talking about Gleeson Fournier scoring goals at the moment, we're talking about Joey Martin doing it. And 4 minutes later, Joey Martin ties the game up, and that sees us into overtime. Where before we will touch on the controversy, you mentioned Beskarani robbing us a few times. I think probably none more so, Sean, than on Sean Bentivoglio in that overtime period.
Cannot believe you made the save. Still, like, looking back at it now, you just talked about, as you led into that, my head just looked at the ceiling and my eyes rolled. And I cannot believe that he saved it. You know, fair play to Sean Bentivoglio for getting the shot off. He's going down. He gets as much as he can on it. I don't think he can get any more on it, you know, from his position. But Bescaruani's scrambling and has pretty much absolutely no right to make that save. But he does. And ultimately, the Giants managed to get the puck up in the next stage of play and go up and, you know, I'm going to say almost score. And we go into quite a lengthy review.
Yes, quite a lengthy review because there appeared to be technical difficulties. Before we discuss what we think happened, Aaron, what's your thoughts on the appearance of the laptop and, you know, if the technology, you know, from what I've read, it wasn't a different angle being brought down. It was a laptop that provided the same angles because there was a technical failure. What's your opinions on that happening and, you know, should it have?
Well, I was under the impression that if your goal line technology didn't work, then that was it, pretty much. But what's that? Sorry.
So I just said call on the ice stands.
Call on the ice stands. Yeah. But what annoys, like, even if Belfast fans are trying to say that, I'm calling lies on that because they were. A number of fans that were behind the glass watching, from the penalty boxes, and they were watching something. Like, it wasn't as if nothing was working because you could tell they was watching something. So I'm calling bull crap on that. That's, don't lie to me. you know, I just think, Darnell, I think, made the call. I think Darnell should have stuck with his guns. You know, it wouldn't have made much of a difference because I think it was like a minute and a bit left. So I don't think it would have made much of a difference. If Bentley couldn't score that, I know he was done an incredible job to get a shot off, but for Bescaruani, like, he's playing at the top of his game, he wasn't going to score, and if it went to a shootout, you know, our luck in shootouts have been awful lately, so I couldn't see us taking another point anyway. But it's just the fact that, you know, you make the call, no goal. Bentley goes on a breakaway. If Bentley scores that, what happens then? Point one. What happens then? Does it go back to the goal?
Yeah, review, the goal is given, the second one gets washed.
Exactly. So, this system is just flawed.
That is the system. That is the video review system across all of ice hockey.
Yeah, it's just flawed for one, right? So, there's point one. Point two, I am going to clock on here, and I'm probably over-exaggerating, but it took at least 5 to 6 minutes, if not longer.
I think a Giants friend told me it was over 10 minutes.
It didn't feel that long, but let's just be, you know, bitter about them. We'll cut her in half and we'll say 5 to 6 minutes, which is already an insane amount of time. It was that amount of time before the laptop even came out. So, in my opinion, you know, someone probably, you know, was watching the webcast, as, you know, a couple of our players do, noticed that that on a different angle it looked like it was in. And, you know, they brought down their own device to prove that, which is wrong, point blank wrong. Because, you know, I've seen a couple of players stating the rules are you use the...
what's in the box.
You use what's in the box. If it's not working, call on the ice stands and that's it. And in my opinion, if it's after 6 or 7 minutes you can't make a decision, you should then stick with your call on ice and thing. So, in my opinion, they should have just waved off and been a no goal. And yeah, I'm a Cardell fan and I'm a little bit bitter about the situation, but that's the way it should have gone. Because the way they done it is so unfairly. Like, Belfast took that extra point by by literally breaking the rules. Like, if that, like, imagine it was us, like, we scored that goal. Would they have brought that extra camera angle in or that laptop in to prove evidence for us? No, they wouldn't have. And it would have been up to us to do it. But we wouldn't have had that jurisdiction to do that anyway because we wasn't at home. I just think it's completely unfair. And I'm going to sound bitter and sour about it and all things like this. But, you know, it's facts. Like, you shouldn't be able to do things like that. And
I think it's a very fair point. You know, Sean, we're not in the position in the league where off-ice officials are ever going to be, you know, neutral and brought in by the league in the same way that the refs aren't. You know, do you think that until that does happen, that, you know, what happened in Belfast shouldn't be allowed?
What happened in Belfast should not have been allowed, point blank. Donna left the penalty box without looking at the video and was going to call, the calling ice was going to stand. Someone then calls him, runs down with a laptop. I appreciate what Aaron's saying, and I do agree with him in that sense that if the shoe was on the other foot and it was our goal going in, the Giants webcast, you know, if Darnell wanted to see it and the Giants webcast had seen that it had gone in, I doubt very much that they would be that as open to providing it as they were with their own team. I think that's what sucks about it, is that it does lack a little bit of integrity, and that's the biggest problem with it, is the consistency of it. If the referee is seeing what should be in the penalty box on an iPhone from somebody in the crowd, if the referee has to go and get his own phone and recap, if the right decision is made, I don't have a problem with it being done if it's going to be worked both ways. We don't know if it's going to be done both ways. It's going to be worrying in that scenario. So, given that, what happened in Belfast on Saturday night shouldn't have been allowed. It completely brings the game into disrepute, and the GLT, which the league has brought in, it makes it seem completely bush league, and
it was pointless. If they can't,
of course it is. It's a waste of time. If you can't use it to categorize, that's why originally teams have offered webcasts for however long. The reason that they couldn't implement video reviews was because not every team in the league was able to have it, and they had to have it across the board, point blank. If 10 teams had it and one didn't, they were never going to do it. So, do you know what I mean? It's almost the same thing. If you're the home team, you have more angles on it. If Ice Time TV have more angles, which I'm sure they do, than the league's allocated cameras, they can't then go down to the referee with that and declare it a goal. Because as we said, if it was a Giants goal, I'm sure they're going to lose the footage between going down two sets of stairs, because they're the home webcast. You know, you can talk about integrity all you like, but these are validated cameras that are put in place for that reason, and they are the ones that have to be used. Easy enough. Do I think the puck crossed the line completely? Do I think the whole puck crossed the whole line? No, I don't. Based on the camera angles shown, I think it's inconclusive to overturn the call on the ice. If Tom Darnell has seen the above the goal camera on something in the penalty box and it's a goal, no problem. Well done to the Giants, and I'm with you too. I think they would have gone on to win the game anyway. But
yeah,
it left a bit of taste in the mouth of the weekend, and it was Bush League. There were people from there were Davos fans that we knew from the CHL over in Belfast for it. And they couldn't believe how it was being run. And that's just what gripes me, is the league does so many good things, implementing GLT, the four-man system coming back in, and then it lets itself down by letting these things happen. And that's where, that's what frustrates me.
Yeah. It's just, like, I don't, like, we're going to keep on, I'm going to keep on going about this. Because,
keep going, I don't care.
It's just, I just think, you know, there's better ways to do it. Like, if you're going to be, like, I'm all griping with Belfast now. I'm done with that. My gripes with the Elite League. If you're going to be an organisation that's like, right, let's implement goal line technology, let's get it right, let's get it perfect, don't arse it. Don't, like, come on. Like, I know how many teams, I know Belfast got it, but how many teams got a camera in the back of the net?
I think all teams have above camera, above goal line cameras, I believe.
So why wasn't he used?
I think, and that's the point, is that I think it was used. It's whether or not it was working in the box is what's in question.
That's,
and obviously,
and another thing, I like, no, the speed up, like, it's hard, like, Belfast got, every team usually got, well, not all teams, but most teams got, like, a screen to be able to send feed to. And Belfast play a highlight of every play after, like, a whistle. So why couldn't, I'm not sure if it's a rule or not, but to speed things along, fuck, just show it. Like, because there were so many fans, like, it was for 10 minutes, it was just people. What?
I totally disagree with you on that.
No, I think show it. If it's not going to influence, it won't, if the ref got integrity and thinks it's a good ref, it's not going to influence the call. I just think it speeds things up because everyone can see what's happening and everyone can make their own mind up. Like, none of us have seen the actual footage that the refs have seen.
But it doesn't make it any quicker, because if the ref is making a decision, whether or not the fans can see it shouldn't influence the speed of his decision. If the fans are getting on the ref's back, you could argue it makes it more likely that the ref is going to side with the home team because of the pressure you're getting from the fans. And that's a minor issue. The bigger thing for me is that as fans, we don't fully understand the rules. You could show a highlight of a puck on or almost over a line, and it's 50-50 as to whether or not it's in. It could even look like that is probably in. But if the call on the ice is no goal, the referee's got to be 100% convinced. So it can cause, I think it'd cause more problems. Because if the call on the ice had stood, and most Giants fans who've watched the video say that they've seen, say they think it's in. I've seen 50-50 in Devils fans saying they think it's in, they think it's not. But the point is, you can think it's in, but are you 100% clear that there's been a mistake made on the ice is a different question to, do you think that puck is in?
Well, if call on the ice stands.
But that's the point. For the referee, that's what the referee does. The fans won't see it that way, and it will just cause more anger, more abuse towards the referees, more vitriol, more everything is not. I think it would make matters so much worse. And I really think that in terms of fan bases with a loud, intense crowd, so it wouldn't have mattered in Belfast. I think it would put a lot of pressure.
So what about showing the footage after the call then?
No, because again, it's the same as when Sheffield did it with Tom Perrin for two games in a row, where there was a disputed goal that Dave Sims didn't like, so he shoved the video on, and Tom Perrin had to be stopped refereeing in Sheffield for a few months because he was getting so much stick, so much abuse, and anything that you can do that makes the referee's job harder and puts more stick on them from the fans, I disagree with. Fans don't need to know, but going back to a point you made at the start of your first rant, I would like to see a time limit put on goal line reviews, because as much as I want the right sporting outcome, I think you need to bear in mind that ice hockey is also the entertainment business. There's a lot of people paying money for it. If a review takes 10 minutes, that's too long for me. There needs to be a cutoff point where you say, I've been looking at this video. There's only, you know, we're not a league where there's 20 different camera angles. I've looked at these three camera angles for the last 5 minutes. I can't make my mind up. Well, clearly that's not a clear and conclusive mistake. So I think unless there's problems getting the feed down, and it is coming, and not on a laptop, as in someone's plugging the wire back in, and it'll be a minute or two, I think 5, 6, 7, I don't know. I'd like to see an average of how long all goal line technology reviews have taken place this season, and maybe call a point just above the average, and that's the cutoff. Because we've had reviews this year, at least two in Cardiff, go 10 minutes plus, and I think both of them have been against us in terms of the call on the ice, and I think they both ended up for us, and both of them I thought I would rather have let the goal in or not have the goal than spend 15 minutes of my life watching a referee look at a laptop screen. And that's the point. You know, what's more important, sporting integrity or the entertainment side? And the league needs to get the balance there.
What about teams or the league addressing it then? Because I think that's another issue as well.
Addressing what, sorry?
The situation.
I think the league will address it. I would be surprised if it was addressed publicly.
But that's what I mean, though. Like, because there's no set, for the fan bases, like, you mentioned the fans not knowing the rules and stuff, but they're not given the opportunity to know the rules because they're not put out there for us to learn.
100%. Like,
that's what I mean. That's what. Why can't they say?
The IIHF rulebook is there, and I think 95% of the rules that the Elite League follow, especially the on-ice calls, are all in there. The Elite League rulebook should be published in exactly the same way. I don't think there's any excuse for it in this day and age. I fully agree with you, it should be published. But in terms of this specific call, if the league came out and said that was wrong, you're saying Darnell and I can't remember who the other ref was.
Perrin,
of course it was. I was just talking about him. Darnell and Perrin don't know what they're doing. And you're going to get Cardiff fans saying, well, we should replay the game or point should be, is there really a benefit to that? Should be handled in house.
There's no rules. Like, that's what's infuriating. Like, there's no post. Like,
there are rules.
There are rules for penalties and like certain instances in the game. But does the IF thing, wherever it is, have any rules on the?
I'm not sure the WHA technology has it. But even if they did, it wouldn't matter because the Elite League runs it to their rules, which is in the Elite League rule book, but isn't published.
Just give someone, like, just post there saying, like, 5 bullet points, and you've got, like, as a ref, you've got to be able to match each bullet point before you can make your mind up. It's just got to be as simple as that.
There are a number of rules that the Elite League differs from on WHF, which is perfectly allowable. I think most leagues follow it and then have your own sort of subset of additional or differences. I can't see, other than the fact that it's not been written down properly, they're just agreed and on a scrap of note paper in a couple of emails that have spread around. I think it is probably consistently over the last however many years, the most amateur thing about our league is that we don't have a rule book that fans can look at and say, that's why that decision was made. Mm-hmm. And that would be the one thing I'd change about the Elite League in that's easily fixable. Obviously, there's a lot of bigger things that'd be nice to change, but I don't think that's difficult, and I think it's ridiculous that it isn't. Well, we weren't going to talk about Belfast for long, boys. We've managed nearly half an hour on it. it's just I think Aaron's probably said more words in this podcast than you have in the last 5. Sorry guys, you have to listen to more Belfast stuff than you thought. Let's talk about Brayhead. What is there to talk about? Sean, probably, I can remember all of this game, so we can probably talk about it a little bit more. I felt Devils came out flat. I didn't think we looked good. I thought we looked very hungover, as if, and probably not so much on the physical effects of the Belfast game. I was worried it was a mental thing that, you know, we took the lead on a shorthanded, you know, gave one up quite quickly afterwards. But at the end of the first, I just was left feeling so lackluster at the performance.
Yeah, and the first period definitely was lackluster. I was not impressed with it at all. And like yourself, little things just doing on. We didn't look tired. I just felt we looked lazy. Turnovers, penalties that we didn't take unnecessarily. Yeah, little things that made us look lazy. And we're lucky that the clan didn't turn up extensively, because they would have taken it to us, and luckily, we go into the second period and we address that in the room. And we come out with a whole new lease of life. We've stopped playing very well. We game the zone very well. We're controlling the possession in it very well. The goal that Joey Martin scored off the tic-tac-toe from the forward line was excellent, and it was deserved. Because for the couple of minutes before that, we'd had a good spell and a possession in the zone, created some good chances, and you know it was a well-opportune time. I think we needed to score based on how much domination we had in the zone. You dominate that much and don't score, it kind of, you know, leaves you a bit, you know, a bit negative, and you know, is it going to go our way, this, that, and the other? We were already ahead of that stage, but yeah, and it was a pretty goal as well. I think the pass from Ben DiRolio straight into him in the crease is absolutely exceptional. In fact, it was so good that when I saw it live, I got the eights mixed up, and I thought it was Martin to Ben DiRolio, to be honest with you. But yeah, brilliant goal, and we just kept going. And on any other night, you know, if we had turned up in the first period, we'd have absolutely blown the Clan away.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And I think by the same token, if Clan had turned up in the first period,
they would have blown us away.
A tricky night.
Yeah.
I think the way the game finished, we probably would have had enough, but you know, it was there. It was enough. We had a goal off the backside of Charles Longley early in the third to wrap up the 5-2 win. And the three games that we had left after Belfast that I was most worried about were the three against Clans. So one of those down, just a trip there and a home game left. So hopefully they go the same way. And you know, that's not to discount the other games, but you know, on paper, obviously, Clan are one of the form teams at the moment. So that's, I feel like that is it for that game. It was it was nice to see, I think, you know, nice to see Josh Batch get a goal. Obviously, we discussed the mistake on Friday. He managed to get an assist on Saturday in Belfast as well. So
interested to see him shifted up to the forward lines. On Saturday in Belfast,
and stayed there. Yeah, I think he's had a few shifts on D in both, but in the majority as a forward.
Also to make a note as well, which we didn't mention. Saturday saw the return of Evan Mosey.
Yes, God, it feels like he's been back for ages, being very good. And for a guy that's sat out, it's not that long, a few weeks after you know, what was a really nasty looking hit. Aaron, two excellent performances. I'll ask you because you don't think he's overrated. Two excellent performances from Evan Mosey.
Yeah, you know, he. On that Sunday, I think it's just what he brings to the team, to be honest. He didn't look a step off the pace. Saying that, the first shift he had against Belfast on the Sunday, he was out there for about two solid minutes, and you could tell that he wasn't enjoying himself out there, and he just wanted to get off the ice. But he didn't look like he missed a beat. I think his transitioning from defence to forward is something else. You know, he can match Fournier. I think he's a little bit quicker. He just looked really like I said, it didn't look like we missed him. And although he did play D, I think I would have liked him to see play as a forward, because I think he might have been a little bit more effective for us. Like, you know, he's killer in front of the net. We know he can score goals and big goals as well, because he's done it for us. But and, you know, the speed is another thing. And he already gelled with a couple of forwards as well. I think Lord needs to settle him down into a position now. Batch made a critical error on Friday. And, you know, he knows about it. And I think he's still a good... Like, he haven't had one of... He have had a good year, in my opinion. And I do think that... You know, he's still a good enough D-man, and I felt a little bit sorry for him that, you know, he's getting pushed out of his position now for, although Mosey is quality, I think he just needs to, I think I'd like to see him more as a forward. We know how good he is as a D-man, and I think goals, where we're lacking goals at the moment, I think, like, not, we're not lacking goals, but, like, from more players, I think Evan Mosey could create that, and his speed is killer, and I think it'll kill teams off. You know, they won't be able to keep up with him. So, but yeah, it was nice to see him back in the lineup. didn't look like he missed a beat, so.
That's interesting, because I think there's not a lot in it. I think I prefer Mosey on D. I like him with that little bit of extra space to make use of his speed. He gains his own really well. And you're saying about Batch being forced out of position, it's worth saying, before Mosey's injury, Mosey was probably icing, I'd say, over half of Batch's shifts on D, and then jumping up as a forward, and Batch was stepping back on D. So I think the way it's working now, Batch is potentially getting more ice time, getting those shifts as a forward and then slotting back on D occasionally than he was when he wasn't playing as a forward and Mosey was covering on D, if that makes sense.
But I think it's like, you know,
I like the flexibility Mosey brings.
Batch brings it, like, you know, you could both ways, because Batch didn't do a bad job last night as a forward, but I think it's unfair for both players to be constantly switching positions, because, like, if Mosey, like, hopefully we do keep hold of him next year, and he will be our utility guy. If Mosey was looking to play elsewhere, you know, it's not going to be great on his resume that his points currently aren't very high. You know, he's saying that he's on 16. Well, he's running at 0.5 points a game, and that he's usually a guy who runs at a point a game. I know his injury is like dampened that and stuff, but and it's the same with Batch. Batch missed out on GB possibly this year, because he probably wanted to play as a D man. You know, and he's going to want to get that back, but is he going to get a chance to get that back now ready for Worlds? I just think it's unfair for both players to keep having to keep swap positions. Just let him settle. I know you've got to do what works to win, but, you know, you've got to think of other players' growth as well.
With 10 games, well, 11 games left in the season, players' growth for me is the least important. They've had 50 Rock games on. For that. But I don't know. I feel more comfortable with Mosey on D. I just think he's a top four D man quality, at least, if not a top pairing quality. So, but I can definitely see the argument with the swapping, but, you know, it hasn't affected him since he came in. Sean, your sort of take on that point?
I think it's a shame for Evan Mosey to be used as a defenseman, because I think his speed is absolutely killer as a forward. I appreciate that this year has been a difficult one for us to manage him, because, you know, we lost, you know, a guy like Blood, we've had injuries, and much in the way that Culligan was hindered by the fact he was so good at playing D, I feel like Mosey's the same. But we've not really seen much of Mosey as a forward, but I feel like I'd love to see more of it, because I feel like he could do so much damage. And as Aaron said, we're struggling at the moment to put the puck in the net through our team. And I think that's where, you know, I understand getting Batch off D. You know, for a short period of time, he hasn't, so probably since the GB squad was announced for the KHL games, was it against Riga, from memory, top of my head? You know, he's declined a little bit, made a massive, massive error on the Friday and probably cost his team a point, maybe two. But I appreciate getting him out of that situation. There's less pressure on him as a forward. I get that. But while we are struggling to score goals as well, it's difficult. It's really difficult to say. I don't think Andrew Law wants to see that Mark Lewis and Josh Batch pair on the ice. He wants that on the ice as little as he can, and that then is going to end up tiring out your other four defensemen. So I appreciate why. Next year, I'd like us to give Evan Mosey a defined role. I would love to say we're signing Mosey as a forward, and if we have injuries, then the same thing will happen. But right now, I really, really don't know on how to do it. I feel like if Mosey had come in and played forward in those games against Belfast, we might have had a bit more cutting edge to go and get something. But who knows? But he looked brilliant as well. Last night in the game against the Clan, I thought he was probably the best player on the ice. Yeah, underwhelmingly, yeah. So.
Underwhelmingly, overratedly. player of the week. I'd almost forgotten. We need to do a player of the week. I know Sean's player of the game from last night was Evan Mosey, but Aaron, who gets your vote as player of the week?
For me, it's I'm not going to say it, actually. It's Jamie Livingston. You know, the guy has brought a new lease of life to the team. It is worth it. I think is incredible. You know, he doesn't stop skating. Granted, he's not a big points guy, but, you know, the amount of pucks he turns over. If he can add a little bit of goal scoring to his game, he's just in for Ina 2.0. He throws his body around like a lunatic. He's good with the puck. Finds a good pass off often. And, you know, for me, in Belfast, he was one of the standouts. Never gave up. Never stops trying. Constantly working. And I just thought he was an absolute killer. But yeah, for me, Jamie Livingston.
Cool. I'm not agreeing with you, so I'll go next, just so in case Sean agrees. My pick's going to go to a guy that feels like he hasn't put a foot wrong for quite a while now, and has just been quietly going about his business in the menacing way that he does. And the Smart Lewis, I think he's playing some really quality hockey, some really solid defence, at a time where you're not even talking about those two mistakes on Friday. I feel like our defence is a bit open. I think there's a lot of space. There's a lot of turnovers happening in general. Your passes coming out, and I'm struggling to think of any, and not just this week, but going back, but especially this week, of Mark Lewis, you know, playing a bad pass out of the zone, of coughing up a puck, of a player getting round him too easily either. I think it's he's got a job to do, and he is doing it as, you know, at the top of his game at the moment. So my vote goes to Mark Lewis, and that leaves Sean to decide whether we've got a three-way tie or a winner.
We have a winner. Can't argue with anything that you said, Aaron, about James Livingston, but this week for me it's got to go to Mark Lewis. I thought he was excellent, one of the best players through the course of the weekend in Belfast. Solid enough last night, as you'd expect. And to be honest, he's probably, you know, you look through our defence, and with Batchy moving up front, he's probably our only real stay-at-home D-man. You know, Richie this year producing a little bit more, and a bit more of a hybrid. And he is our real only stay-at-home solid defenseman, and he's doing it really well. I think that's the sign of a good defenseman. You don't notice him, and we haven't really noticed Mark Lewis much this year because he hasn't made many mistakes at all. And I completely agree with everything you said, Paul. He's been solid, been dependable. He's dropped the gloves a couple of times when we've needed him this year, but this week in particular was absolutely tremendous. And so yeah, Mark Lewis for me.
Congratulations to Mark Lewis, this week's player of the week. Very quickly before we move on, as I said, we haven't got any burning questions. So very quickly before we move on to this weekend, just to see where all of that excitement has left us. And it's left us not where we wanted to be before the weekend. Worth note as well that Giants beat Fife 3-1 also last night. So we've still got that game in hand on them. We are level on points, and you know, you think it's not that long ago. Giants had a couple of games in hand on us, but it was 11 points, I think, at one stage. So a big swing, you know, it's put the momentum back with the Giants. And you know, if the Devils win the game in hand, which will be coming up on Thursday, assuming all is equal after the weekend, we'd be 2 points ahead. But we'd also be level on regulation wins, which really means that from here on in, if Giants win out in regulation, we can drop a single point in our last 11 games, which is a tough ask. You know, you'd want to be in our position. We've got a point to drop. Belfast can't drop a point and hope that we drop two. So, you know, it's deflating to almost look at the league table now that, you know, when you think back to where we were just a week ago from tonight. But we are, it's still in our hands, and we're the only team that have the destiny in our hands. Very quickly, Giants got 10 games left, 7 at home, 3 away. Devils, as an 11 home, 11 left, 5 of those at home, 6 away, and 3 of those in Scotland as well, worth noticing, mentioning. Sean, in terms of the running, sort of similar teams really for both. You know, neither of us play Nottingham, both play Sheffield a couple of times, both play Coventry at least twice. You know, Glasgow are going to have a say as well, so not a huge deal in it. Maybe that. Do you think the home advantage could be telling for Giants?
No, not necessarily. We thought that would be the case last year, and then they went and absolutely bombed 2 games to Milton Keynes and Edinburgh. So, who knows? Is the pressure going to get to them? They've got a Challenge Cup final to prepare for. Is that going to, you know, maybe take their attention and force them into a couple of errors in the night before that? I think we only have to worry about ourselves. The Giants, like you said, have to win. They have to do their bit, and then they have to also hope that we lose. They lose a game, we can afford to lose one. But it's going to be a really crazy couple of weeks. And as much as I would have liked it to not be the case, this is how it is. It's exciting. It's going to go right down to the wire. I imagine you look at that running, and it's difficult to see where the Giants are going to drop points. You'd like to think, based on what we've seen, it's difficult to see where we're going to drop points, but hockey's a weird game. We could easily go to Coventry this weekend and lose, and we're all sat there worrying about it, and Belfast could then lose one of their games as well. So, who knows? You know, last night we got given a bit of a scare when the news came in on flash scores that Fife had gone 2-1 up. It wasn't quite to be, and the Giants went on to win that in regulation. But who's to say it couldn't happen? You know, anywhere they have to go to Coventry as well. Coventry have to go there twice. With a bit of luck, they can do something. Who knows? Who knows is the real answer, isn't it? Really. What will be will be. What will be will be.
Whatever will be, that's. They should write a song about that. Aaron, not going into that side of it, do you think it's almost a case of who blinks first now? If the Giants lose, drop points before the Devils do, obviously it gives us a bit of a buffer. If Devils drop points first, do you think that's, you throw in the advantage and the momentum really far back at the Giants? Is it almost coming down to a sudden death on who drops points first, do you think?
At the beginning of the year, we had a 14-game winning streak. We won one. There's 11 left. I think we can win 12 games in a row. What was there to worry about? Yeah, it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough, but there's a lot of players in that room. You think of the character you've got in that room. You've got Alma, who've won a trophy every year for the last, like, 10 years. You've got Martin, done the same for the last 4. You know, all the core guys. Lord isn't going to go down without a fight. This team's not going to go down without a fight. You know, we're in this. You know, we're not going anywhere. Belfast, they've got a lot on their plate. They've got to play similar opposition. They've got to worry about the Challenge Cup. You know, it's not going to be an easy task for them. You know, I think if they didn't have the goalie they got, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. They play better in that first game, but we are a better team overall. They just had the luck that, you know, Beshkowani is something else, and he's not going to be in the league next year, let's be fair. Unless they chuck every penny they got at him, he's not going to be in the league next year. I'm full of confidence. There's nothing in my mind that says we can't do this. But it's pressure's on Belfast. So we just got to, wherever Belfast do, we got to match it, and that's that. Simple as, easy. The games on the weekend, it's not as if we didn't match that. Even when that Friday night game where we didn't play that well, we were still there, we were still jumping down their throats, and it was just two critical errors that cost us the game. You know what I mean? They are nothing that we can't handle. And there's other teams in this league that have beat them previously that are still going to want to do it. They've got to play teams that are fighting for playoff spaces and things like that. And I know we are too, but I think we've got the bottle.
Who wants it more? That's all it comes down to, point blank, is who wants it more?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And if
the boys in the room want that more than the Bathurst Giants, then we will win the title. If they don't, then the Giants will win the title.
It's a matter of time before we'll just... Because if you think about it, we haven't been playing the hockey we've seen at the beginning of the year since around November time. We've had spells, but it haven't been there since, November time. And it's just a matter of time before everything falls into place, it clicks, and you get Edin scoring again, Langley scoring again, Dixon banging them in. Do you know what I mean? This Matt Pope, end of last year, he went on a 12-game, I think it was nine-game goal-scoring streak. He hasn't had a great year, and a lot of people are on his back, but if he can do that now, all the better. We just need to get a couple of score in, and worry about our D. Bounce is having a fantastic year. It's in our hands. Simple as. It's in our hands. I'm not. Granted, if we lose on Saturday, it'll be a different tone coming out of my mouth. But right now, I'm on top of the world, and I don't see why not. We're not gonna come out with this with another trophy and three-peat.
I wish I live my life as optimistic as you, but I'm not convinced I do, because I feel like I'd be even more crushed whenever things went wrong. I agree with everything you say. And as I said, it is in our hands. Sean mentioned off air before we started recording that, the last couple of weeks last year after we lifted the trophy, there were a lot of complaints that Devils were phoning in performances, that the games were a bit boring, that, we should have been going flat out rather than conserving energy for the playoffs. We're not going to have to worry about this year. This season is going to the last weekend. I've no doubt in my mind whether it's done. I think Belfast play Friday, Saturday. We play Saturday, Sunday. So I think one of those days will be the day when whoever's going to be lifting whatever the Monteith Bowl is now called, or will at least be winning it. So we're in for a very exciting March, is fair to say. And March starts on Saturday, because tomorrow doesn't count because there's no ice hockey. And it starts with a trip to Coventry, still spaces on the Red Army Travel bus. Sean, Coventry, a team that have struggled for the last few years, pretty much except when they've played Cardiff, and they've beaten us in Coventry on Boxing Day. They've beaten us in Cardiff this year as well. Danny Stewart knows how to play against us. A game that's holding nerves for you?
No, not really. I think we are due. We do a big performance against Coventry. They are missing a very, very key player in Alex Nicky Forrock. Does a lot for them, scores goals, kills penalties, plays on all their special teams, I believe. So I didn't really think much of their goaltender when they came down here last time. And I don't think we really gave him that much to do, if I'm totally honest with you. So I'd like to think that we've got a little blowout in the back of our heads let's get the goals going. I'd take a win in any stretch. Regulation would be nice to keep hot on the heels, but I don't think in the run, like you said, Paul, will it matter now? Really?
I've got a horrible feeling this is coming down to regulation wins, and if it does, I think it's likely to go against us the way it's sitting. Yeah. So. Yeah. We need to keep those points. We need to keep that point ahead.
So that's what I mean, whether we win it in regulation or not.
For us,
is it?
Yeah. No. Yeah, we need to take 2 points every week, every night. Not every week. God, not every week. Not 2 points a week, please. It won't go down to the last weekend. We then, on Sunday, welcome... It's a 4 o'clock face-off. We welcome Sheffield to Cardiff. And Sheffield will be hot on the heels of... what I hope will be a home win, because they've played Belfast in Sheffield. So Aaron will be facing a Sheffield team that have had a very tough night on Saturday. So how do you see that going?
Happy days. Belfast don't want to do a job. Hopefully Sheffield can do a job. They got to get all the points they can on the Friday, Saturday. So hopefully they can do a job. Sunday, they're going to come down to us. I think they're going to be battered and bruised. I think it'll be if Whistle's on his game or not. If he's on his game, you know, it'll be a little bit closer. If not, I think we'll pretty much run away with it. Tom Barrasso have already said we're the best team in the league, so I think they're expecting a tough game. So big weekend for them. They need to take as many points as they can. Same on either side for us in Belfast. So I think Belfast, if they can take the points off Belfast and we win, be a happy man. But
glad you mentioned. You mentioned the Tom Barrasso quote that we're the best team that he thinks we're the best team in the league. Does that concern you that maybe his focus is a little bit more on Cardiff and maybe that the team will be up a bit more for that game than their game on Saturday?
No, I think he's a one game at a time type of coach. He knows what he needs to do to win these games. It's just going to come down to who wants him more. Sheffield, we know, is always a difficult place to go. I know we've beat them twice this year, or three times, whatever it is. So we've got one more to go. And that second game, you know, they almost did beat us. They're a very good team. I think they've settled down now a little bit, and they're starting to not be the Sheffield we know. But, you know, they're getting there. They're playing with the right ideas. They got a couple of good players, a couple of goal scorers. If they can get on Belfast at the off, I think they'll do them over. And hopefully they'll just, like you said, tire themselves out. And after, jump on a four-hour bus journey down here after a tough game and play us with bus legs. And hopefully we can do them over.
Be nice. And just to round off, well, not round off the weekend, it's probably the same time because it's in Belfast, but Belfast play Manchester in Belfast, which I assume will face off at 4 o'clock on Sunday as well. So, Viola Arena, sorry. Wi-Fi will be taking in a battering on Flash Scores updates, I've no doubt.
Hopefully they get it right this time.
Yeah, just don't trust Flash Scores is what Wednesday will have taught anyone who gets the updates, because a notification of Belfast are losing with 7 minutes left. That's a lie. It's just not nice. Well, we weren't expecting to talk a lot about Belfast. Aaron has ended us on a lovely stream of positivity that was probably lacking right the way across the fan base. Thank you to everyone for listening, for tuning in. Hopefully we won't be sulking this weekend, so we'll be on Twitter nagging you for Rahmites, nagging you for burning questions, so get thinking. And if you do think of them, get them sent in before we nag, because you can never trust us to do anything. There's a reason we're the cockwomble of the season so far. Thank you once more for listening. But for now, from Sean, Aaron and myself, that is your Red Army Roundup. Devon inside, Devon inside. Every single one of us, Devon inside.